Hi, hello everybody, and welcome to the PlayStation Report. This is another episode of the show hosted by yours truly, Frank, alongside Tyler. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
Oh, I'm tired. I don't know why. I didn't even stay up to watch the race last night. But yeah. I'm still tired. I woke up and I saw the highlights and I'm like, oh, a fucking course.
Yeah, right. I know, right?
The race that is at an unreasonable time is the one that's actually somewhat interesting because one Max Verstappen not finishing it.
No, right.
I think this is how we all expected the season to go. Is the only way other people have a chance is if he doesn't finish.
Yeah.
So
definitely. Yeah. I mean, his brakes literally, or his right rear brake literally exploded. I mean, that was pretty nuts. I think it puts a lot of things in perspective too of just how reliable that car has been since Australia 2022. I mean, holy crap. It was a good race. I did stay up for it. Usually it's a little bit of a stretch, but they actually moved it an hour earlier this year. I'm like, whatever. I'm up till 1 o'clock or something most weekend nights anyways, so what's 2 o'clock? You know? I'm glad I stayed up for it for sure.
Yeah.
Now the next two races I think is Japan, and that one's a little bit later. I think that starts at like 1 a.m. our time, and then China after that is 3 a.m. and I ain't staying up for China for sure.
Yeah,
fuck that.
I need to check my schedule. If I'm working nights, that's the only way I'm going to be watching those. If I'm already working at night, so
right, yeah.
Yeah, throw that up on the TV in the break room. And be the only one interested in it because no one else at work watches F1, so.
Same, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then also what a cool story, though, of Carlos Sainz just not being able to race 2 weeks ago with appendicitis, having surgery, and then back. And, I mean, he was on it all weekend. I mean, do I think Max probably would have won without the brake issue? Probably, but I think it actually would have been tough. I mean, Ferrari and Carlos was on it all weekend, so it's a good story, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dude's unemployed next year. Yeah. That's what sucks, too.
Critically, the Ferrari driver who is not going to be there next year won.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Just brilliant.
Yeah. And he's the only guy to win outside of Red Bull since November of 2022, I think.
That's disgusting.
That's insanity. For sure. Oh my god.
Well, I guess
I'm hoping for more races. Just for, I think Ferrari's closer to Red Bull than everyone thought, but I think it's going to be track specific as well. Like, I think Bahrain suited Red Bull more, whereas this track, you know, suited Ferrari a lot more, and so they were way closer to Red Bull all weekend. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm curious to see who has the top speed advantage at China.
Yeah, definitely
the longest straight.
Right, definitely. It's a very long straight in China.
Yeah. But yeah, let's get into video games, Tyler, because it's been a while since we've talked about them. I've finished some games. I've discovered a game. Well, not discovered. It was recommended to me. And gone back to some stuff. There's a whole variety of stuff I have here. Tyler, do you want to start? I know you've wanted to talk about Like a Dragon.
Yeah, and that's basically the primary thing that I have. I've dabbled in Halo Infinite a little bit and Helldivers 2 some more, but nothing really to say about really either of those. And me and the wife have gotten back to As Dusk Falls. We started that, and then life got in the way, and so we got back to that. We have one more chapter left, so I'll probably talk about that more next time, because we'll have finished it by then. But so yeah, I've just been putting a ton of time into Like a Dragon: Infinite Wealth. I think I am on chapter 8, and I am like 28 hours into the game now. Have you had a chance to get back to it at all? Or
I played a couple hours of it, but I haven't really gotten that far. Like I'm in the middle of chapter 3 right now, so you are okay. Definitely all ahead right. of me.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, I'm actually very addicted to this game right now. It's great in a lot of ways. And the game just keeps giving you more and more and more stuff. So I think where I'm at, the game is kind of almost reset in a way, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but I can tell it's definitely, like, there was a lot of building to stuff, and the story, I think, is very slow in the beginning of this game, but chapters probably 4 to 7 really pick up. And it's like, okay, this is kind of intriguing. Where's this going to go? And now I'm at a point where it's kind of resetting in a way, and I'm sure it'll build back up again to the end of the game or something. But so the story, I think, is actually pretty good. It's not as gripping, I feel, as some other Yakuza stories so far, but so far that I've played. But I do find it entertaining. And I think overall, just the biggest thing is just Ichiban Kasuga and his crew. And the new characters are fucking fantastic. Like, so much so that it's like, I almost don't want to bring back the old ones from the first game. And eventually that expands a lot more. But it's really cool, though, how you do get to use all of them in a way. And then a lot of the like social link sort of stuff is really cool that you can build upon.
Yeah, and the way network. You can
right the Aloha network, and there's certain like bonding things that you can do just around of just having a conversation, giving gifts to your party members, and then just doing certain things with them. Like basically, the higher you get your bond with certain party members, it actually unlocks these tag team moves that you can do that are pretty cool, that have kind of a special meter to them, and they're very cool, very powerful. So basically, kind of everything in a way, kind of deeper I get into it, really feeds into itself in a really cool way. And then there's just all the other side shit in this game. I mean, it's insane. I mean, Yakuza has always been good with that stuff, but I just feel like this game is even crazier with it. So the Tsujimon stuff, which is basically Pokemon, is very fun and way more addicting than I thought it was going to be. It's so funny how it is like such a ripoff, in quotes, of Pokemon, but they obviously put their own Yakuza style on it, where you're capturing these just crazy dudes, these like lowlife people. I mean, it's insane. And then you force them to battle, and there's gyms, basically. There's badges that you collect. There's just battles happening throughout the world. You can go to the Tsujimon shop that they have around, all over the city, where you can strengthen your dudes, you can buy items for them. There's like a PC shop, like in a Pokemon game. I mean, it's insane. It is so much fun. So I think I'm on the silver rank, and I can go fight the boss to go to gold. And I want to say there's one more after that in platinum. Yeah, I'm getting there with that. That's been really fun. I did get to the Dundoko Island stuff, which is the Animal Crossing bit of this game, which I think is fun. I'm just not a big Animal Crossing dude, so I was kind of like, this is neat, but kind of get me out of here, especially because the story was really picking up when they introduced that to you. But the way they introduce you to that stuff is so funny to me. And I can't wait for you to see it. And yeah, but there's a lot there for that. And that both of those things do feed into the game where you can get items, you can make a lot of money, especially on the island stuff, and all that stuff. So there's reasons to do it, but you're okay not doing it as well. And yeah, I've also done like I think over half of the sub stories in the game as well. I think 28 out of 52, I think there was that I saw looking at the list. So I've done a lot of those, and some of them are a little hit or miss, but some of them actually have some genuinely very great storytelling, like the series is known for. But like one of them, you're literally a waitress because a dude didn't show up, or a waiter because a dude didn't show up to work. So you have to like remember everybody's orders and then take it back to the chef and then take the food out. It's like it's goofy in its own way, but it's at the same time it's like, hey, this is a little meaningless because that's pretty much all it is. And you, so it's a little hit or miss on some of that stuff, but I do enjoy it a lot. And yeah, just enjoying the combat a lot. There is I want to say there's multiple just with the way that it's positioned, but at least so far there is a big like dungeon basically that you can just run over and over and over again, and it also has certain levels to it as well. Where you know, you can do it from level 21 to 30 if you needed to grind a little bit of stuff out, and then from like 30 to 39 there's a whole nother set of floors you can do, and then so on and so forth, which is neat. And very fun, especially if you're just looking for some combat and need to grind some stuff out, which I've only had to do once, and I was okay with it because I didn't. They kind of introduce this dungeon to you, but they don't make you do the whole thing. And I kind of wanted to go back to it anyways. But I was like one or two levels under what they were recommending. And this game's pretty good at giving you a warning of, hey, you're about to do something in the story, and you're going to be here for a while, so you should make sure you have this level of equipment, and you're at least this level, and yeah. So I think the game's pretty good at doing that. So yeah, man, I'm loving it. I'm in until I finish it, and it'll probably be another 20 hours at least, but I'm in. I'm very curious where it's going to go. It's I think it's better than Like a Dragon in every way except maybe the story so far.
Okay.
And I'm not saying the story's bad. It just isn't as interesting to me so far. But we'll see where it ends up for sure.
Yeah, I need to sit down and have a long session with Like a Dragon.
Yeah. There are certain moments, man, that I've been thinking of you while playing. I'm like, dude, Frank is going to love this.
Yeah.
Like, or I'm very curious what you think of. So yeah, I can't wait for you to eventually get there, and I know you'll enjoy it for sure.
And I'm getting closer and closer to clearing up time to play it. I've finished a few things. I have finished Final Fantasy VII Remake and the Integrate DLC.
Woo!
Intermission, whatever. Really fucking dope. Intermission. I fucking love playing as Yuffie. She is so much fun to play as. So,
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm not sure about going back to playing as the rest of the party in Rebirth eventually. So, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. What do you think of the story of Seven and all that? How it ended, I guess.
It's interesting. It makes me think that they're teasing. They're teasing about not doing the thing. But will they still do the thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I'm left with more questions at the end of that. So,
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I have not played the original. In that ending, I was like, what is going on? But then, you know, digging into it more, it's like, oh, okay, this is actually kind of interesting how they're going about it.
Yeah, I can't imagine not having knowledge of the first game and just jumping directly into this because
yeah. And like, I think in hindsight,
so much if you don't know.
Right. And I think in hindsight, I totally agree with you on that. You know, it is interesting how they, you know, it says remake in the title, obviously. So you expect that, and in ways it is a remake, but then they are definitely going in a different direction.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I finished that, but that's not the only large RPG I finished. I've also finished Tales of Arise.
Ooh.
How'd
you like it?
I loved it up until the point where the story just fucking lost me. Somehow an RPG story lost me. The Uh-oh. Guy who's fucking in it. Man, it's a real bummer when it turns out that all these societal problems, it's because of aliens. It's just aliens.
Oh, yeah.
They just hand wave it. It's aliens. The aliens did this to you. It's the aliens' fault. They're worshipping this genocidal spirit. And yeah. Real bummer. Really enjoyed playing the game. Really enjoy the characters in the game. But the last, I want to say, third of the game, just dog shit story, man. And the last dungeon is just way too long. Ugh. They ruined it. They had a good thing, and they ruined it.
Yeah, that's a bummer, especially with a game like a JRPG that you just invest so much time into.
Yeah.
For it to not come together, that sucks, for sure.
Yeah. I also, like, overall, I did enjoy the game. It's just that the story was a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to play? Didn't they just put out DLC for that game?
Yeah, they put out DLC late last year. I don't think I don't have that in me. I can't go back to that. Like,
right.
There's no fixing what they've done. They unmasked the aliens, and I just you can't put the aliens back on the spaceship. I guess that's how that would go. But yeah, I'm done with that. So, moving on to some other games. Been playing Danganronpa with the girlfriend.
Ooh, interesting.
And, I mean, she's introducing this to me.
Okay, that's
and,
cool.
It's pretty neat. Lots of murder. Lots of murder in that game.
Got that teddy bear in there.
Yeah, that teddy bear who is at the is horny and super not horny at the same time. Like, chastising your horniness. While also himself,
yeah,
complicated mascot. I really enjoy this. It's a lot of fun. You do investigations into these murders and solve them, much like an Ace Attorney, Tyler. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Ace Attorney.
I am familiar with it. I haven't played it, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Gathering evidence, building a case. Walking through the events that happen. Yeah. Really fun stuff. I went back into Stardew Valley. They just had their big 1.6 update. And I bought Stardew Valley for the third time so I could play it on my Steam Deck. Let's just gloss over that. I'm halfway through spring. I've already run into some new stuff, and it's really cool new stuff. I really love what they've done to this game. It's like, this is a massive update, Tyler. Like, they've added a lot. And
yeah, that's crazy.
I'm back into Stardew Valley now. I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna play it until Haunted Chocolatier comes out.
Oh. All right, there you go. Yeah, it's crazy how much they've added to it, and what they're still doing this far away from that game's release. It's very cool.
And then the other game that I've been putting a lot of time into on my Steam Deck. Tyler, have you heard of Balatro?
I've heard of it, yep.
Tyler, you need to fucking play Balatro, dude.
I feel like it's been one of the hot games this year so far.
Play Balatro, man. I know you'll love it.
So it is a poker roguelite? Oh, right?
Yes. So, you start, unless you start with a special deck, let's just put that out there. There are special decks that change some of this stuff, so whatever. But you start with a standard 52-card deck, and you're building poker hands. And during your run, you can modify how your deck works and how scoring works for you. So there are planet cards that upgrade the type of hand that you play. Like, say you can get a planet card that upgrades your scoring for your pairs or for your three-of-a-kind, four-of-a-kind, straights, you know, all the poker hands. There are tarot cards that can do various things, like change the suits, give you money, all sorts of stuff like that. There are spectral cards that modify your cards as well. You can buy card packs to add copies of cards into your deck. And in addition to that, you're also acquiring jokers. And jokers have their own special effects. Some jokers give you bonuses for certain hand types. Some jokers allow you to do gain money for playing certain types of hands. And the combination of all that, it's like you're trying to beat a score, right? So you're playing a poker hand. It's worth however many points based on all those modifiers, and you're trying to hit a target. And that just keeps going and going. I don't know how else to say it, man. So you can, like, discard cards from your hand to, you know, redraw to build a better poker hand. It's fucking great, man. I don't really love poker, but this game's got it. It lets me cheat at poker.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem fun, and a fun way to play poker.
Well, you're not really playing poker. Poker is the framework for your scoring. You're not really playing poker. I've beaten the game at the white stake, which is the first difficulty with all the decks available to me. Now I'm trying to beat it at the next higher difficulty level with any of the decks, really. I'm trying, and it's difficult. So, we'll see how that goes. Balatro. Let me check Steam. Let me see how much time I've put into this fucking game. Let me look. Where are you, Balatro? I have played 26 and a half hours of Balatro.
Ooh, damn. Nice.
God damn it.
Out here, gambling.
Okay. No. Okay. Crucially not gambling, which is the thing that some storefronts have confused it with and banned it, mistakenly thinking it's a gambling game. It is not. There is no gambling.
Yeah, I've read some of those stories and it's like, are you serious? Like, you're not gambling. It doesn't make sense that this game has been banned from certain places. There's just so much worse stuff that you can do in games that aren't banned.
Yeah.
That it's so stupid overall. I feel bad for them in that way, in some of these areas where they can't sell their game.
It's a fantastic game. I think it's like $15, so definitely go out and get it. I think I just saw a story about how they're going to bring it to iPhone. Hopefully that also comes to Android as well. because yeah, there's no reason this game shouldn't be able to work on your phone. Oh man, lovely. Lastly, Tyler, the elephant in the room, Tyler, you could probably guess. Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh, okay, all right. So you got it, getting in that. How is it,
Tyler? I tried to play this on my Steam Deck. It is the biggest piece of dog shit on that Steam Deck. Don't play it on your Steam Deck, everybody.
Uh-oh. That sucks.
Can't even get 10 frames per second.
Ooh. Yeah, like, that sucks. I mean, the game's been struggling on console, so yeah, that sucks. Damn.
Can't, like, knew there was going to be issues that in the opening dialogue with an NPC, frames were dropping on the subtitles.
Oh my god.
That's how you know maybe this isn't the place to play this game right now. But I did go home and play it a little bit on my PC here, and I got it running okay so far. But I have not visited a big city yet, which is where I hear the performance is bad.
Yeah, and players are, like, killing NPCs just so the game runs better and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah.
I did enjoy the character creator. Creating characters, pretty good. And I've run around in the wilderness a little bit, and yeah, it plays pretty good. I'm satisfied with the way the game plays when it's running at a somewhat okay frame rate. Hopefully yeah. Some patches are coming, because, man, I just can't do that. I cannot play a game like that.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, because it does look like a very good game. I'm very intrigued to play it, but yeah, I'm going to wait a bit for patches and stuff. I mean, it sucks. But, I mean, the game looks very fun to play. It's beautiful as well. I'm in. So, yeah hopefully it gets better for you.
Yeah, it seems like a game with a lot of systems and a lot of interesting stuff that can happen out in the world. I've seen videos of a giant cyclops bridging a gap between like two cliffs. And
wow.
Yeah. People using an enemy as a bridge.
That's crazy. Wow.
So yeah.
What type of character did you make? What's his name? All that stuff.
Oh, I made a cat boy. I tried to style him to kind of look like a cat version of a Yakuza character. You haven't played Kiwami 2, so you don't know him. Ryuji Goda.
Okay.
This guy I was trying to, you know, model him after. I asked my girlfriend what to name him, and of course she said Percy, because he's a cat boy.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Archer right now. Gonna go be a magic archer eventually. There are so many classes in this game, though. Like, it's I might be swapping in between some stuff.
So can you have multiple classes going at the same time,
yeah.
Or one at a time, or okay?
You're switching classes, bringing some abilities from certain classes into others. Yeah, it's
nice.
Pretty deep in that way. The way you can customize your class and how you play and all. I want to play more Dragon's Dogma 2, but I kind of wish I wasn't, like, attached to this PC to do it, especially considering that there's something else that's going to attach me to this PC this year. That's Final Fantasy 14. We'll talk
right.
A little bit more about that later. That's the games I've been playing, though. I've been dabbling a little bit in some other stuff. Maybe some Crusader Kings 3. Trying to get my girlfriend into that.
Still golfing?
Still golfing every now and then. Dipped into back into Motorsport Manager. So. Yeah. Turns out building a team from the ground up is fucking hard.
Yeah. I'm sure it is.
No one wants to sponsor you because your car is dog shit and it's in the back of the pack because you didn't really have a year to develop it. Ugh. It sucks.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. I might get back into Red Dead Redemption 2 this week. As far as stuff that's on my Steam Deck, Red Dead Redemption, gonna keep playing Stardew Valley. Those are going to be my main games on the Steam Deck. At home, it's going to be Dragon's Dogma and Like a Dragon. So,
hell yeah, man.
That's what I've got on my plate. You with your one game at a time. I defy all reason with how many
you
games
do.
I play.
You know what? You finished two JRPGs. Why not start another one?
Yeah, maybe I should start Crisis Core Reunion. At work this week.
There you go. Yeah, it's a pretty... It can be a very quick game, yeah. Depending on how much you do.
I mean, I can get it done in... How many hours would you say?
I finished it in 13.
Okay.
I did do some side stuff, but not all of it.
I'm just going to average like about how much time I'd have. I have 16 hours this week to play that. I could do it.
There you
I
go.
I could do it. Will I, though? I don't know. I might get distracted by Stardew Valley.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's get into the news. We have some numbers. About the best-selling games, Tyler. Looks like games are... People are spending a little bit more money on games this February as compared to last February. Let's get into the top 20 games here. Starting at number 20 is Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora. At 19 is Rainbow Six Siege. 18, Mortal Kombat 1. 17, Mario Kart 8. 16, Minecraft. 15, Super Mario Bros. Wonder. 14, Elden Ring. 13, Marvel's Spider-Man 2. 12, EA Sports FC 24. And at number 11, Mario vs. Donkey Kong.
Number 10, Hogwarts Legacy. 9, Persona 3 Reload. 8, Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth Twin Pack. 7, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. 6, Madden NFL 24, 5, Tekken 8, 4, Skull and Bones, 3, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, 2, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, and number 1, Helldivers 2. Crazy.
Fucking wild. That's about awesome. That Final Fantasy 7, though. Like, the pack and just Rebirth on its own, both in the top 10, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's pretty good there. I mean, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth came out the last day of February, so it makes sense that it's not, number one. But good for Helldivers, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome to see that being up there at number one. And, Skull and Bones, though, number four.
Yeah.
Guess people want to play Skull and Bones. I don't know who, but... There you go.
Tyler, it's a real video game.
It is a real video game now. Yes. Yes. I also find it interesting. I feel like every month we do this, Avatar Frontier the Pandora is just quietly on there. And that game's just like quietly selling, but no one really is talking about it too much. I feel like that game just kind of came and went, but people were interested in it. It's interesting. Games continue to make a lot of money, you know, up 2% year over year from last February, but you know, there's the labor of the industry is in a crisis right now.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate to see.
Yeah, I just... I will have no sympathy when these fucking CEOs eat shit eventually. Like, how the fuck can they keep getting away with this shit? Like, come on. You're making more money every year, and yet you can't afford to keep people? It just doesn't add up to me.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't add up to me, and it's either you can't afford to keep people, or you know, why'd you overhire in the first place? You know? Yeah. Just because you're making a ton of money doesn't mean you need to bring on a ton of people that, when shit hits the fan, unfortunately for some teams and whatever, I mean, it's, you know, it sucks. So on one hand, it's nice to see the industry's doing very well, doing better than ever, but, you know, the people that make them are not. And that sucks.
Yeah. So those were the best-selling games of February. Let's look ahead to Summer Game Fest, because we do have a date for Summer Game Fest. It's going to be June 7th. Jeff Keighley keeping at it. No competition this year. E3 not even going to try to happen. E3's dead forever. Well, maybe not forever, but officially gone. So Jeff's going to do his thing. Maybe we'll get a look at... Maybe we'll get a look at a Final Fantasy IX remake, because... there are definitely a lot of references to Final Fantasy IX in that latest trailer for the Final Fantasy XIV expansion.
That'd be cool. I want to say that was in the NVIDIA leak, Final Fantasy IX. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be sweet. I'd be curious what they're going to do next. I don't... Maybe June's a little too soon to hear that, but... since they just launched two big titles and they have the expansion coming out for 14, so who knows, but that would be very, very cool. I'd be down for that. Showcase is going to be 2 hours long too, which, you know, I feel like with Jeff's shows is very hit or miss on the length. Like, sometimes it flies by, and then other times that you hit that section in the middle where it's just an absolute fucking slog.
We don't need to have Jeff the up there slobbering all over Kojima for like 20 to 30 minutes. Let's cut that from the show.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I'm sure Microsoft will have a show around this time. Maybe PlayStation. We'll see. They have some hardware to talk about later this year. We'll talk about soon here, but yeah, maybe PlayStation, maybe not.
Let's just get right to that year. Hardware while let's we're do here it. Because some hardware specs have leaked. Of course, GDC weekend just came and went, which means a lot more people are exposed to this, which just, you know, means more vectors for leaking this sort of stuff. And we did get a leak. And, it looks like they're doing a PlayStation 5 Pro. It looks like they're doing the Pro console again, damn it!
Yeah, and guess what, Frank? It's going to have 33.5 teraflops.
Shut the fuck up.
What do you think about that?
Shut the fuck up. No, we're not having this conversation again. No. No.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a massive like techy dude in this sort of way, so some of these things I'm like, I have no idea what this really means, but it's supposedly going to have the same CPU as the PS5 with a high CPU frequency mode, which amounts to a 10% increase to 3.85 gigahertz in the GPU, which enables faster rendering and higher quality ray tracing powered by 33.5 teraflops. The standard PS5 offers 10.28 teraflops. However, direct comparison between PS5 and PS5 Pro would be would actually put it around 16 to 17 teraflops. So what that means, I have no fucking idea. But I'm sure it's better. I'm interested in, though, is there's been, since these specs have leaked out, you know, the big thing is like, okay, well, can we play certain games like GTA 6 at, when that comes out, at 60 frames? And the answer is like, maybe not. Like, this thing's going to get, it seems like Sony is prioritizing fidelity in a way, rather than getting more performance out of the game. But maybe some of these fidelity things will help the game do that better. That'll, I don't know, free up more space for the performance side of things. I have no idea. I'm not techie in that way. But, you know, so I find that kind of interesting, because I feel like a lot of people really just want to be able to play games at a nice resolution, but at 60 frames. You know, once you get some of these games at 60 frames, it's really hard to go back. I don't know. What'd you make of all this, I guess?
I think it's going to lead to the same fucking situation as the PlayStation 4 and the 4 Pro, where developers are going to see these shiny new numbers and aren't going to be like, wow, now our games can run better. They're going to be like, no, we can just make... We can just be a little bit sloppier now. Who cares about the old spec? Let's develop for this new spec.
Yeah. Right. And I think there was worries with the PS4 Pro with that, but...
It happened, though.
You know...
It fucking happened. Did you see Control on a base PS4?
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. It wasn't as bad as I feel like was feared, but it did happen, like you said, with certain games. And I do worry about that. And I think I'm also of the mind of, like, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I also feel like this hardware still hasn't fully been utilized. But maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe if you talk to certain developers, maybe they go, yeah, there's not much more we can get out of this. I don't know. Because it also feels like, even though it's, you know, this thing came out in 2020, it feels like this console has not been out that long. Yeah. Even though I guess it's been 4 years. So there's that aspect to it as well, where I'm like, fuck, I don't need this necessarily. Would it be nice to have, like, if someone said, hey, I'm going to give you a PS5 Pro, I'm not going to say no to it. But am I going to go out there and seek it, especially when I feel like the thing's probably going to be $600, especially, like, at least $600. I don't know. Also, I don't even know if it would fit in my little entertainment center as well.
No.
If the thing's bigger than what the base fucking original PS5 is. I'm worried about that. But who knows? They have the little PS5 now. That's the model that they have. Maybe the Pro will be the same size as the original PS5. It just has better guts. You know? It'll apparently will be all digital, but you can get that detachable disk drive that they've talked about.
Yeah.
It'll have a terabyte of space and have this PSSR, which sounds Russian. The PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution Upscaling.
The pisser.
The pisser, yes. Which is some sort of upscaling anti-aliasing solution Sony has, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just not thrilled. That's all I've got to say about it. I think the problem that developers have is that they don't have any fucking self-control. I think games just keep getting bigger and bigger. I think we can still make good fucking video games for this console. We don't need an upgrade. People just need to, like, people in charge of designing games need to have some chill. They need to not just look at, oh, we can do more, more, more. And we don't need more. We don't always need more.
Right. I agree with you. I think that's a very real thing. I think it's also very real that there's a bunch of just idiots out there that just expect that as well, which, you know, the developers don't need to listen to them, obviously. They're clowns. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm at the point where it's like, I'm loving Infinite Wealth. I really am. But I'm like, oh my God, like it feels exhausting.
Yeah,
just sometimes. Like, how much stuff do you need to put in this game? Like, God damn. It's crazy. I'm with you on that stuff that I would rather have tighter experiences, smaller experiences that, you know, maybe then this thing's not needed as much, but I'm sure there's a market for it. We'll see when it ultimately is, when Sony talks about it. Because I did not think I wanted a PS4 Pro, and then I eventually got one and I loved it. But I feel like it was getting to the point when I picked it up, it was like, yeah, some of those games were not doing well at all in terms of running on a PS4. Hopefully that is not the case here for PlayStation 5, of just the base console. Because if it is, then fuck. So there are rumors that Microsoft is not going to do a half-step console, and they are just going all in for the next generation, you could say, which I hate that we're even talking about this right now. In 2026, I think it was, when they are targeting to get that out, and rumored that there's a new console plus a handheld. And in ways, I kind of like that strategy more, because it just says, like, hey, you don't need this half-step thing, and then the next big thing, you know, 2 years later, like, here is the next thing. Here is the next generation of console. This is what you want. And so I kind of like that strategy more myself. We'll see where it goes. But I think if those rumors are true between, you know, obviously the rumors of the PS5 Pro were, I feel, are very true. And what Microsoft's planning on doing in 2026, I feel like it'll be kind of interesting, because Sony and Microsoft then will be going in totally different paths.
Yeah.
Because if Sony gets this thing out this year, their next console, you know, might not be till 27, 28 or something like that. I mean, so they're kind of going to be going different directions, which I think is interesting. And I guess from a business perspective, Microsoft kind of has to do that, but I don't know. Their hardware right now isn't selling. So it's an interesting time, but I think for me, I'm okay right now. I don't necessarily need this thing. We'll see where it goes.
I have thoughts about what Microsoft might be doing, but, you know.
What do you think they're doing?
Maybe they do a handheld.
Maybe. Yeah, and that's the big rumor right now, is that they are thinking about doing a handheld, very much Steam Deck-like, which I think would be insanely smart, especially for the ecosystem that Microsoft is trying to set up.
Just Game Pass, handheld. I mean, I know you can technically do some cloud streaming on your Steam Deck, but you can't really, you know, download and install games for Game Pass on there. Just be amazing.
It would. I mean, you have your whole library there, and like you said, Game Pass, streaming. I mean, oh my God. And then just to be able to go back and forth from your console at home to taking your stuff on the go with you on your handheld. I mean, that'd be fucking
Viva
sweet.
Viva Pinata Mobile.
Yeah, there we go. That's a good idea.
Oh, God damn it. And they won't do it because we've said it.
Yeah.
So let's get back into this. Get back on track here. Let's talk about, what do we have here? What's this about Black Panther and Captain America? What's happening?
Yeah. So I guess there was like an Unreal Engine showcase sort of thing, and kind of out of nowhere, this game, Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra, got announced, which is from Skydance Media, and this is the team that Amy Hennig is leading. Amy Hennig from Naughty Dog and Uncharted titles. So yeah, this, and basically it's set in this time period. You get to play as both Captain America and Black Panther. And honestly, this game looks visually unfucking real. No pun intended. Like, I was just blown away by how good this game looked. And it seemed like it played pretty well. It's a single player game and story driven. I mean, I'm intrigued, for sure. Playing as Captain America in the Marvel's Avengers from Crystal Dynamics was probably the best part of that game. I found Captain America to be very fun to play as, so hopefully this game is just as fun. It's out next year. And yeah, that's very cool
I've only
to
got
me.
one question for you, Tyler.
Yeah.
So we're skipping up to 1943 here, but what were Captain America and the Black Panther doing throughout the Holocaust?
No idea. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, come on, guys. Come on, guys.
Will they touch on that? I have no idea. Do you fight Hitler or
Oh,
something? I don't know.
man. I don't know.
We'll see.
Black Panther fighting back against European colonialism in Africa. Oh, man.
Yeah. In the Black Panther, I'm not. I like Black Panther. I just don't know a lot about like the history of the character in terms of comics, but it's apparently like a different version of him, and he's kind of older
Oh.
in this game, it looks like, and he looks fucking awesome. And the combat with it, that they showed off with his character looked really cool as well. So yeah, I guess this is different than. Yeah, so when I first saw this got announced, I'm like, oh, this is the Black Panther game that EA is making. But it's not. It's different. Different team.
All right. Let's see. Nothing else coming of that Unreal thing, though.
No, not really. That was the biggest thing.
Okay. I'm going to scoot that down here real quick. Put this up here. Larian is unshackling itself from Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast. They're going to move on from Baldur's. There's not they are not going to be making the next Baldur's Gate game. They're not making any Baldur's Gate 3 DLC. They will continue to support the game with some updates. But they're moving on. Larian, not making a Dungeons and Dragons thing. What are they making next? I don't know. Maybe I called it. I don't fucking know. Maybe it's a Star Wars RPG. Maybe I. Who handed them a bag of cash? Who could say? I don't know.
Oh man.
Who has a bigger bag of cash than Dungeons and Dragons? Maybe Disney.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I'm a little tired of like a lot of Marvel and Star Wars games, dude. Oh my God, Larian making a Star Wars RPG would be so cool. Want that so bad. Yeah, I find this kind of surprising in a way. Just like I understand it. I mean, this game is huge. They put their heart and soul into this game. Obviously, it's amazing. I'm just kind of surprised with the success that it's having that they're not going to do like just one big expansion or something like that down the road. But in ways. They said that they tried to do, they started to work on DLC and stuff, but they just weren't into it. So it's like, yeah, don't put something out that you're not into. And if you got more exciting ideas on what the next big thing from your team's going to be, that's probably more exciting anyways. So yeah, good for them. Larian just does what the fuck they want, and it's awesome.
Yeah, and also on the other hand, they made Hasbro a shit ton of money only for them to lay off a lot of people.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, I'm not saying that there's personal beef there, but like, you got to pick your partners wisely. So why make them any more money if they're just going to squander it? So
Yeah, right.
Dude, I am excited for Larian and what they do next. It would have been so easy for them to just, keep sucking on that Dungeons and Dragons tit, but they're gonna move on to something else.
Yeah. How would you feel if the next thing is Divinity 3
Fuck yeah.
instead of something new? I mean, I'm down for
You
that
know, they should, if they can, follow this path of, hey, we'll do our own thing, do a big license thing to get a shit ton of money so we can do our next thing, and then do another license thing to make a shit ton of money. I don't know. Maybe that's a pattern for them.
Yeah. Right.
Until eventually, everyone is like, oh, wait, hold on. Look at this Divinity Original Sin series over here. Because I feel like more people need to play those games because they're fucking fantastic.
Yes, they are.
Let's see. Saber has been unimbr how do you say this? I don't know. Cast out by the Embracer Group, bought out, or they bought themselves out, or someone bought them. Who bought them? Who bought Saber? A group of investors, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's just the Embracer Group, because I think Saber was an arm of the Embracer Group,
Yeah.
and Saber has a few teams underneath them.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so yeah, again, say Embracer, you can't just embrace everything and expect to hold on to all of it.
No.
We'll see. Apparently, this created like a huge complicated mess. People not sure about which properties are going where. Let's see. It's a whole mess. There's some unannounced stuff. Let's see. Killing Floor 3, Teardown is going with them. I don't.
And I believe the KOTOR remake is going with them as well.
Okay.
Although they said that that game is a long ways away still, but they are taking that with them. And I think they have. Yeah, so basically, Embracer's going to keep Zen Studios 4A Games, which does Metro, Tripwire, Beamdog, Tuxedo Labs, Demiurge, Shiver, Aspyr, Snapshot, and 34 Big Things. I think Saber has some sort of deal with the 4A Games in Metro Peace that they could publish it or something like that. I was reading. But yeah, Saber's going to keep Nimble Giant, 3D Realms, Sandbox Strategies, New World Interactive, Slipgate, Madhead Games, Fractured Bight, and Digic. So yeah, I mean, good for them. Good for Saber to get out from underneath the Embracer Group and do their own thing.
Sometimes
I
an
mean,
embrace can be suffocating.
yeah.
So.
In clearly it's not working for the Embracer Group. And they're looking to get rid of whatever they can, which is unfortunate. Because it's also that obviously Embracer Group has laid off a ton of people. They have closed studios, and it's just it's not good what Embracer Group has done, and fuck them. And then there's certain things that they put out that should be just easy wins, like the Star Wars Battlefront collection. that they put out that is an absolute travesty. And it's like, what are you doing? That is just an easy win, easy money, dog. What the fuck? And yeah, I don't understand what Embracer Group is doing, and it's it sucks. So good for Saber Interactive.
All right. Got PlayStation VR news. They're actually not making any more VR2 headsets. Sony has decided to pause production. I don't think anyone is surprised at this. It's like, I think PSVR2 kind of bombed.
Yeah. I think it's, it is not done very well. I think there's so many things that have went into that, too, of, like, it's more expensive than the console. The support hasn't totally been there in terms of, like, games that would really drag people in. And it's, you know, obviously the economic situation as well is not ideal, to where people just don't have this sort of money to just throw around at something like this. There's a lot that goes into it, but it does not surprise me that they are kind of pausing production on this. Apparently, I mean, it's pretty bad, like, how many headsets are just sitting out there. And it makes me wonder if they will, I don't know, maybe try to lower the price or something to just move these units. And obviously, I think we've talked about, too, they're testing PC support, which I think, you know, that's not going to be the thing I feel that is going to, all of a sudden, they're going to sell all their inventory, but it's going to help when they're able to do that.
Yeah, if it works for PC, I might be interested in it.
Yeah.
If they also reduce the price.
Right. Yeah, I think it's also just what VR, especially this, is. Whereas, like, the Meta Quest has been pretty successful, and that is just it's a plug-and-play sort of device. You're not attached to anything, really.
Right, but there's...
Whereas this, you still need stuff.
There's even data, though, that suggests the Meta Quest, like, the majority of users buy it and use it for, like, a couple weeks and stop.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me either. I think VR is just still one of those things of, like, oh, yeah, it just looks so cool. The first time you do it, you're like, oh, my God, I love this. I need more of it. And then you just don't... It's not your go-to thing. You're still always going to want to sit down with a controller or sit at your PC or whatever and not have to put on a headset, whether you're attached or not. Yeah. But I think the attachments does not help PlayStation VR 2 at all.
Slightly better news.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I was going to say is I feel like Sony hasn't really supported this thing too well. And I feel like the support has been even worse than the first PlayStation VR. And it makes me wonder if Sony's just going to let this thing just die. I mean, it's kind of already is dead. But in terms of just, like, we're not going to really do anything with it. We're not going to make games for it. Or are they going to try to ramp something up, you know, in the future and try to move units? I have no idea. But I wonder if this is another piece of the Jim Ryan puzzle, in a way, too.
Go get your Jim Ryan bobblehead.
Yeah. Just some of these things. I'm not saying, I mean, but some of these things, just more conspiracy, tinfoil hat sort of stuff. It's like the Bungie acquisition hasn't worked out too well. The live service push hasn't worked out too well. The PlayStation VR 2, you know, like, should they have done that? I don't know. And while PlayStation has been incredibly successful under Jim Ryan, it's just some of these decisions have not really been paying off, and I don't know, just kind of conspiracy theory stuff of maybe it isn't just travel on why he's retiring.
Huh.
Who knows?
Maybe. Let's finish this off here, though, the March PlayStation Plus games. They're already out there. You there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
I'm here.
They're already out, so go get these games right now. For the PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium Game Catalog, we have the NBA 2K24 Kobe Bryant Edition, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Resident Evil 3, LEGO DC Supervillains, Mystic Pillars Remastered, Blood Bowl 3, Super Neptunia RPG, and Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. The classics that have been added for the premium tier are Jak and Daxter, The Lost Frontier, Cool Borders, God Eater Burst, Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney Trilogy, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think some of these games are pretty interesting. I mean, Resident Evil 3 is fun. It's not of the quality of 2 or 4, but I think it is worth playing through if you're interested in it. Yeah. Midnight Suns apparently pretty good. Did not sell well, but
big to get 2K out there ahead of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And yeah, on the classic side, I mean, the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney trilogy, that's a pretty good get. And I have not played that Jak and Daxter Lost Frontier game.
Neither have I. Check that out. I didn't know that that was... What was that originally on? Was that PSP?
I want to say PSP. Jak and Daxter, The Lost Frontier. Yeah, game is PSP.
Yeah, I didn't have a and PSP, they brought it, so...
Yeah, apparently they brought it to PS2 eventually. I don't know. Yeah, I'll have to look into it. It's the only Jak and Daxter game I have not played. Mm.
This stupid question. You've played Jak X Combat Racing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Loved that game, dude. I mean, it's different for sure, but and it has its jank, but love it. It's a goofy game.
Alrighty. Well, I have long video games to play. Very long video games to play and finish. I'm not... And I've also got to catch up on Final Fantasy 14 because the release date for that is like the second week of July. So I think it's July 12th.
Didn't they just announce a big like content drop or something too coming to it? I thought I saw something on IGN about that.
They're doing another collaboration with Dragon Quest, I believe.
Okay.
Which is, you know, just a limited time event where you can get some cool Dragon Quest items in the game.
Okay.
Yeah, but I've not played Final Fantasy XIV for almost a year now. I've got a lot of patches to catch up on. oh, man. And I've got a lot of other games to play. I'm fucked. I'm just fucked, Tyler. I'm fucked.
I know.
In all directions.
Yeah. It's a lot. I mean, I'm playing Infinite Wealth. I'm in it till I finish it. And then after that, like, just the thought of starting something like Rebirth, as excited as I am to play that, I'm like, oh my god. Like, I don't know if I can play another massive game immediately after Infinite Wealth here. I know you're out here playing multiple at once. But yeah, it's crazy.
I've heard things about Rebirth that make me think, man, maybe I can just wait. It being just a mini game fest.
Yeah, it seems like there are a lot of mini games. Yeah. Some of them sound very fun, but
yeah, but I don't need to be playing a shit ton of mini games right now. I've got a lot on my plate.
Yeah. And I think that's another piece to me as well. It's like, well, they're not all mini games, but I'm doing a lot of side stuff in Infinite Wealth that's just kind of goofy and kind of a time waster sort of thing. I'm like, I will get to Rebirth. I will hopefully get as well to Dragon's Dogma 2 sometime this year. But
we've got Avowed coming out this year, man.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's this year. Avowed?
Yeah, they said that's this year. I don't know what else is coming out that's like really big in terms of size.
But you know what I have to do before Avowed?
What?
I have to play both Pillars of Eternity games all the way through.
Ah, fuck, yeah. I keep forgetting it's set in the Pillars universe. Shit.
That's easily 300, like 200 to 300 hours to play both of those games.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So fuck me. Those games are playable on the Steam Deck, though, so maybe that's my next Steam Deck game, is Pillars of Eternity. Fuck.
There you go.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I think that's where we're going to have to leave it, though, because, yeah, got some stuff to do today so I can keep playing video games. You have anything to add here at the end?
No, no. I'm just looking at this list here of upcoming big video games. How about that Elden Ring DLC? Mm. God damn.
10 days. You know, 10 days before the Final Fantasy 14 expansion, I believe. So I have 10 days to play through all of Elden Ring and the DLC.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah.
God.
Yeah, otherwise that's all I got.
You watch anything recently? I'll start while you think about that. I'll start. I've watched both the Knives Out and the Glass Onion recently.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Those are fantastic movies. Last night I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Mm. That's a great movie as well.
Fucking love that.
Yeah. Trying to think, I it was awful, but I watched Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
No,
it was
Tyler,
atrocious.
Why are you giving them money? Why are you giving?
I didn't give him. I mean, I guess I gave him money because it's on Max. That's where I watched it, but I didn't buy it. And that was awful. And the reason why I watched it is like the first one was all right to me. And this is like the last DC movie in its current iteration. And, you know, good riddance. It's terrible. Fucking get rid of it. Start over. Last night, we watched the first Insidious movie. Which is horror franchise from actually the director of Aquaman.
Oh.
James Wan. So, he has such a fascinating career where... the director of the two Aquaman movies recently, he started the Insidious franchise, the Conjuring franchise, and the Saw franchise. And then he also directed Fast and Furious 7. It's all over the place. So, we watched that. That was very good. I'm trying to think of what else.
I've got one more.
What else I've watched?
Watched Happy Death Day for the first time.
Okay, I've heard of it. I've not actually seen that one.
You should watch it.
Need to. Yeah, it seems fun. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Cool.
It has been recommended that you just don't watch any of the... You don't watch the sequel because it's bad.
Okay. Right on. Yeah, I think I'm probably going to try to go see Ghostbusters. Maybe. God, I'm definitely going to try to go see Godzilla. Why not? Mm-hmm. That'll be dumb.
Yeah.
I think those two are coming out, so.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. We'll be back next time. I'll have some more thoughts on Dragon's Dogma. We'll be a little bit further along in Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. Hopefully I can try to catch up to you. It seems like you've just bolted on ahead. We'll see where it takes us. And while we do that, you can do all the things we ask you to do every week. Give us ratings and reviews. Share us with your friends. And until then, be good to each other. Play your video games. And...
Smooth Operator.